Welcome back to Elevate. We are so excited today. First of all, I want to wish everyone a happy holidays. We hope that you enjoyed your Thanksgiving, you had a great time with your families, and you didn't eat too much. We're getting ready also for our Christmas segment as well, where we'll be having some other guests coming on talking about their level of influence in their industries. But today, we have Courtney Matthews with us, and she is the accountant that it specializes in helping solo entrepreneurs and small businesses get ready and get their books in order. So I'm so excited to have Courtney with us. Courtney, thank you for being here in the building.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. She's going to give us some wisdom nuggets. So for those of you that are either looking to start your business or you have a company and you really need some work in the financial parts, you're going to want to stay to the end because she's going to be talking to us about some secrets to success. So let's read Courtney's bio. Courtney Matthew is an accountant and business coach who works with solo entrepreneurs and small business owners to increase profitability quickly, multiply their revenue streams, and establish a financial foundation that proves sustainability. That's good. After spending more than a decade in tax prep and the last 10 years managing several of her own businesses, Courtney knows how to capture your target audience. I love that. The importance of an online presence and build your company from $0. Okay, y'all need to talk to her. It's more than just making money, but more of understanding the heartbeat of your business, which is financial health. Anyone can make money, but not everyone will keep it. So true. Courtney has taught thousands of startups, solo entrepreneurs, and small business owners to take control of their finances, armed with the knowledge to make smart money decisions. Courtney holds a degree in accounting from the University of Alabama. I love that. Courtney Businesses and Core Tax and Accounting LLC, and she's been in business for over 14 years. I almost said 18. Mm-hmm. Over 14 years. The nature of her business includes tax prep, bookkeeping and accounting, business coaching and consulting, and financial literacy education.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is incredible. Every time I see like black women in this field, it gets me so excited because not a lot, I feel like it's a field where we are underrepresented. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, how did you get into accounting?
Oh, wow. I feel like accounting was like a thing since high school. Like,
wow.
I took accounting in high school, probably my junior year in high school, and I just fell in love with it. At the time, it was only like offered once. Mm-hmm. By the time I graduated, I finished my junior year, it was offered for like accounting too. Wow. So I took accounting too, and from there I was like, yeah, this is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
But my vision was to work at a like this big four, you know, accounting company. Mm-hmm. Like that was all I knew about accounting. Like you work at a big firm and you work all these hours.
Right.
But I ended up actually in college, I got pregnant with my son and I had to move back home.
Wow.
When I moved back home, I took a job. Well, my mom was already working as a secretary at this tax firm.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired me because I needed a job,
wow.
thankfully. But that's where I fell in love with taxes at that firm. And that's where I saw, like, oh, there's people doing other things with accounting, like not just the big company. Like, this guy owned a very popular franchise, and he was teaching and training people and had a lot of clients, a small building, but...
Wow.
I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I want to do.
Wow.
So he taught me taxes, and I've been doing it ever since then.
That's incredible. So you had a mentor that showed you the way. You weren't, like, on your own.
Thank God I was not on my own. Because the IRS do not care that you don't know.
That's right. Absolutely. And I want to talk about that, too, like some things that we probably don't know, especially in black communities, where we tend to get started in businesses, but we are not counting the cost.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And then we end up in all types of situations we never thought we would be in. So
for sure.
I think it's really important that you're in this work, but just backtracking, you were in school, got pregnant with your son, but you still ended up going into accounting. You fell in love with it.
Yeah.
In high school.
I stuck with it.
I don't really see people, hear people say, I fell in love with tax. I'm like,
Well, it wasn't taxes. How it was just general accounting at that point. Uh-huh. And it was the debits have to equal credits. It has to make sense. Like, there's no in between. There's no gray area. It's just, it has to equal out somewhere. Yeah. And if it doesn't, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And that problem, I like that. I'm going to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what I like about it. Like, there's no gray area. Mm-hmm. And if it is, you got to figure it out.
I love it. So you're a problem solver, essentially, for companies. And you're solving really complex problems.
Yeah.
Because I think financial health and is so important, again, especially in Black communities.
Yeah.
I heard one time in this workshop that I was in, I think it was a fundraising workshop, and the presenter had stated that depending on your experience with money growing up as a child would depend on how you handle it as an adult and whether you're able to really manage it. And I thought that was so crucial because I'm like, well, typically our experience as Black folk, we didn't really have a lot.
Scarcity.
So it really shows in adulthood.
And it really shows in how you operate your business when you get a business. And I've seen that. And I think that's probably why another reason why I like working with entrepreneurs, small business owners of color, because I'm able to educate them and I'm able to, like, show them and kind of heal that like, toxic mentality with money. Like, because you can see it. Like, even with how you run your business, you can see it.
Yeah.
And I've had, you know, clients where I've had to sit them down and say, just because the money is there doesn't mean spend it. And I know that that's probably what you're used to, but we cannot do that anymore.
Right.
Have those hard conversations, but I enjoy it because I like to see that light bulb go off, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It sounds like one of the things that's coming up for me as I'm listening to you is, like, and the education piece, you're also shifting mindsets and paradigms because people are interacting or dealing with their finances and their business based on what they only know. So you're coming in. You took accounting classes in high school, got your accounting degree, but most people probably haven't done that. Mm-hmm. So they're a novice to this.
Mm-hmm.
So you're educating them. You're shifting their mindsets. What do you think is the hardest challenge in doing that?
Literally that. And, like, when I talk about business or starting a business or even just getting organized and all those type of things, it is literally mental. Like, you have to get over everything that you've been taught or everything that you think is right, and get over the fact that you don't know everything and reach out to people who can help you.
I love that.
Because I've seen a lot of people kind of work themselves into a hole because they thought that they couldn't afford an accountant.
Right.
Or two, they were too embarrassed to hire an accountant. Yeah. I've gotten that.
Talk a little deeper about that. I want to go a little deeper. What would happen and make a person feel, from your perspective as an accountant in this industry, what would make a person feel too embarrassed to bring an expert in?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, but I know it stems from your own relationship with money, and especially in the Black community. Mm-hmm. But basically the feeling that they mess things up or having to admit that they don't know what they're doing.
Sure.
I think that's difficult for some people to admit. And then to have somebody else, another Black person, come in and basically judge what you've been doing, and, you know.
Everybody want to be judged, right?
Yeah, but I just try to let them know I'm not coming from a place of judgment. I'm here to help. Like,
I love that.
And it's nothing that I'm going to see on these reports or in your books that I haven't seen or that I can't fix.
I love that.
So it's better to just go ahead, come on in, and let's get it together, and let me teach you so you don't have to keep doing this, because you'll run yourself out of business.
Absolutely. Do you have any, like, statistics or information about how many Black businesses close because of this issue?
No, I don't really have the hard statistics, but I have seen in my career, I have seen them. And it's the ones that hurt the most are the ones that could have been saved, had a good concept, a good product, a very, you know, they had the clientele, well, not the clientele, but they had the community behind them, they had the support, but they got in the way.
Wow.
And that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to see, because I get attached to people. You know, they got families. Right. And, you know, so that's hard to see. And I've seen that happen a lot. I'm like, but I can't, you know, if they're not ready, I can't really force them to take the help. But, and often you'll see those people go on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, which is unfortunate because they, like, is doing the community a disservice because you have something to say. You have, you know, something to offer, but you don't have the support around you to be able to keep it going, which sucks, but it definitely happens.
Wow. I definitely feel your passion when you talk about, like, your clients and some of the stories that have happened. And you probably thought about one as you were talking about it. And I think it's the way you convey that is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Like, you really are doing your community a disservice. And sometimes we don't think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, your actions regarding the financial stability of this organization is affecting the community. Yeah. And rather than sort of keep doing that, repeating those same mistakes, let's come and get the help that you need. Let's the Olivia that. Pope of the accounting.
I like that. I've heard that. I like that. I'm going to take that with me.
I love that. So I'm thinking about two things. The first question that I want to ask, just piggybacking off this conversation, is you talked about the preparation piece of getting ready for an accountant. And people probably have never heard that. But I love how you kind of touched on it. If you could go a little deeper into why should people be prepared first before an accountant comes in and what that looks like.
Sure. So after we get past the mindset and past the guilt or the shame, it's then you can receive the knowledge. So before working with an accountant or even a bookkeeper, it's having a good pulse on what your business offers and where it's going. I feel like a lot of business owners, or just, I'll say this, understand the importance of knowing your numbers. Even if don't know how to arrive at the conclusion of how profitable you are or vice versa, or the profit, your projections or your sales numbers, even if you have no clue how to read anything, just knowing that this is important enough for me to seek some help. Because a lot of people just think that they, you know, can do it themselves. So
I know I can.
I would definitely say that would be the next thing. But then just receiving the knowledge, like, what is a write-off? What is profit margin? Like, those kind of basic things that you can kind of do to start even separating business and personal funds.
Say that one more time.
Probably the biggest thing. Separating that's a mental thing, too, because I always tell people, I know everybody says your business is your baby, but your business is an organization.
That's right.
That employs you, actually.
That's right.
So if you can separate that in your mind, it'll be a lot easier to separate it on paper.
Like, absolutely.
These are the business's expenses, and that also comes with knowing what is a business expense.
That's good.
And then these are my personal expenses, and that also comes with knowing what can I pay for from the business for my personal life without it being like a convoluted thing. And then just how do I separate it? If I want to pay myself, how do I? That's probably the most common question that I get.
How do I pay myself? And what would you recommend? What is your suggestion?
Literally the how, like practically the how, you can literally take money from your business account and put in your personal account. Now you can transfer it, you can Zelle it, you can take it out and put it in there physically. You can do a actual payroll system like a paychecks or Gusto, whatever. As long as it's getting from one bank to another bank, fine. But it's all in how you record it. So there's no paper trail to say that the company paid the owner or the company paid this employee, then you're doing it wrong. We have to know.
Recording.
Yes, it's the recording part that's so crucial, especially when it comes to your statements, your profit and loss, and like making sure all of that is right, is making sure every transaction is recorded right.
Wow. What are some other like best practices that businesses should be implementing, especially in their first few years of business, You talk about like the profit loss statement, the way that you're recording, mm-hmm. how to pay yourself. What are some other business practices financially you would recommend?
Starting with like how you file, I guess kind of knowing that how you file your taxes depends on how you establish your business.
Okay.
So if you set up as a sole proprietor mm-hmm. and single member LLC or a multi-member LLC, mm-hmm. which is a forced partnership, a S-Corp, a C-Corp, all of that determines how we file your taxes. So knowing that, we can kind of strategize what's best. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of strategize, I'll just say this, how we account for things, especially payroll and sure. corporations is different from LLCs or sole mm-hmm. proprietors. Mm-hmm. So if we know kind of how you're structured, right. it kind of gives you more room for that knowledge to kind of seep in and say, hey, since I'm a partnership, mm-hmm. me and my partner need to be on payroll.
Right.
We need to make sure everything that we're putting into the business mm-hmm. is documented.
Yes.
So I think knowing that is very helpful too.
Excellent. And I think sometimes what may happen is people may be incorporating or forming businesses, but they might be forming the wrong type mm-hmm. of entity. Mm-hmm. May have to dissolve that business and then reestablish the correct
yeah. type. Another thing I've seen is the difference, you know, states have different laws.
Yes.
And different taxes that you have to pay in different states. So, two, knowing that filing an LLC is only a state thing. It's not. It means nothing to the IRS. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people think that just because you file the LLC, you're good all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really the case. Mm-hmm. So, and then even in your state, you still have to think about your city and your county.
Right.
Especially if you have a physical building and you got property taxes and all mm-hmm. those type of things. So where you are and the type of business that you have. Mm-hmm. Each type of business may have a different type of tax or a different mm-hmm. type of certification or license or
that's
regulation,
a good one.
You
yes.
know, that you have to stay compliant on. It's those mm-hmm. things, too, that a lot of people don't think of.
Yes. I'm so glad you hit on the regulation piece because that is so huge.
Yeah.
Knowing what regulations govern your company mm-hmm. and your business so that you don't find yourself in violation of certain practices because of lack of knowledge.
That's the main thing, lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
That's why I am so passionate about teaching and talking about it continuously. Mm-hmm. So at least I can say I'm doing my part,
yeah.
you know, like I'm trying, you know. Mm-hmm. But I know you're in the nonprofit space.
Oh, yes.
So many regulations, so many compliance Ooh, things.
Yes, girl. So much.
And they don't mind letting you know, like, you missed this, or this is late, or mm-hmm. you're out of compliance,
yes.
and hitting mm-hmm. you with the fine, or mm-hmm. whatever.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yes and amen to that. Yes. And, you know, just touching on nonprofit, I know that's not necessarily your thing, mm-hmm. but I think that is also such a piece that's missing. Nonprofits that are Black operated, having the right accountant to help support mm-hmm. them. Because I'm going to tell you now, if you're a nonprofit organization or you want to start a nonprofit organization, if you do not have your books in order, you will not, and I repeat, you will not get funded. Mm. You will not. There are certain levels, even certain thresholds of funding. Mm-hmm. You know, once you hit that $1 million threshold, now you're talking about audits and mm-hmm. other things that are very costly. And there is no such thing as I can't afford an accountant. It must be a part of your budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, just knowledge of that, especially for those that I hear a lot of people saying, I want to start a nonprofit. I want to even churches, right?
Oh.
Knowing what do you need in order to do that?
That's a big one. Like when you said, not being able to afford an accountant is not
an option.
It's not an option. Because when the IRS comes knocking or the state comes mm-hmm. knocking, you have to be able to answer that.
Absolutely.
And be able to provide what they need.
Yeah.
Or what they're asking for.
Absolutely.
And if not, the fines can get hefty. Mm-hmm. They can put a lien on your stuff.
Ooh, Lord.
And that can shut you down.
Absolutely. So, guys, we need an accountant. We need one. We you have to find a way to get prepared. But you have classes that people can take to mm-hmm. learn. What are those classes that you teach, and how can people access them?
Okay, so on my website, it's www.mcortex.com. We have a little section for digital products. So on those products, I kind of broke some of them down. So there's a payroll class, mm-hmm. and it's if you're an employer mm-hmm. wanting to add either contractors or employees, mm-hmm. There's one for business taxes. Sure. There's one for accounting principles. Mm-hmm. And even when we were talking about the regulations for setting up your business for the state,
sure,
for your county and those mm-hmm. things like that. So, yeah, we have those, and I'm always doing, like, webinars. Well, I'm actually about to start back doing the webinars mm-hmm. and the teachings online and on Instagram and stuff like that.
Incredible.
Just talking about and answering questions, too. I like to do that.
No, I love this. You remind me of, like, the SBA Center.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, like even better classes than what some of the local SBAs are offering mm-hmm. because these are the crucial things that Black folks don't know mm-hmm. that oftentimes, again, get us in trouble. So yeah. I love that you're teaching those webinars.
You know, another thing I want to say, too, and being in this field, and I've gotten a lot of clients that come from other accountants mm-hmm. or come from another firm
sure.
that may not have been Black-owned, mm-hmm. is that mm-hmm. we care, like, well, I'll speak for myself.
Sure.
I care more than getting my check. Like, I want to yeah. make sure you stay on the right path
right.
and this is not stressing you out. Mm-hmm. So I often go way outside of my scope of wow. work just to make sure my clients are educated
yeah.
and protected. And I've seen
wow.
other accountants just do the minimum.
Bare minimum.
The bare minimum. And mm-hmm. You can be on the verge of a audit or whatever it is, but they won't tell you until it happens so they can get paid.
Oh, my goodness.
So that if you so can find an accountant that cares and mm-hmm. that is willing to take the time to teach you,
right,
go that route, you yeah. know, because that's not common that mm-hmm. I'm seeing. I've heard stories of people saying that they don't hear from their accountant until it's tax time.
Yeah.
My clients can talk to me all year.
Wow.
All year. If they got a question, they got a letter, they mm-hmm. got anything, they can talk to me.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And that's how it should be. Should be a relationship mm-hmm. throughout the year to make sure you're making the right decision. So I love
yeah,
that you.
Yeah, because it's not hard to trust somebody with yeah. your money and your business. So.
Yes, absolutely. You got to give them all your granted. Books, everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love that you're passionate about what you do. Typically, you don't see accountants that have passion mm-hmm. and that really care.
Yeah.
Typically, it's like, okay, this is just what I do. I'm disconnected from my client, but you can mm-hmm. tell that your heart is in what you do.
Oh, yeah.
And sure. that's important when you're talking about finances and people's stability and growth.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. Thank yes. you. And we need some more Courtney Matthews out there. So we need to start training. If you ever want to come teach some of our kids, we have a Gen Z program, which is it's a college and career pathway program at iRaise. And
oh,
one
nice.
Of the tracks is accounting.
I would love
so
that.
So we're trying to create career pathways for high school students early on, similar to what you
yeah.
did. Where they can take accounting courses in high school,
yeah.
hopefully get them interested in it, and then they'll be pursuing it later on in college.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, so yeah. She on record, y'all. She says sign her up.
Sign me up. I love that.
Thank you so much. So I have two more questions.
Okay.
My next question is about tax season. Tax season is coming up
yes.
In just a few weeks, and wondering how should people be preparing. So advice for small business owners and maybe even for parents of mm-hmm. what are some tax benefits they should probably be aware of and how to best utilize or leverage taxes and during tax season and any
okay.
Tax benefits that may be available to
okay,
them.
Okay, for sure. So for businesses, definitely go ahead and get your stuff in order now. If you know you have not looked at your books or they're kind of a mess, just go ahead and get in contact with us now so we can go ahead and get you situated, because what happens is a lot of people will wait. Mm-hmm. And then tax season, not only do we have our regular clients, but we also mm-hmm. have an influx of new clients, individual clients. Mm-hmm. So we don't want you to get pushed to the back burner. So go ahead and that what that looks like is basically us categorizing every single transaction for the whole entire year if you haven't been doing it.
Right.
So then we can come up with a profit and loss statement where we can see how much you spend on advertising and travel, and that's where your deductions come from. And that's how we get your tax bill lower, right?
That's good.
So definitely go ahead and start to put that in mind. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we're doing with our clients right now is, we've already kind of prepped for tax season for next year, but those last-minute deductions are to kind of help keep their bill down or bonuses. A lot of people, you see a lot of people doing company parties and bonuses around this time.
Right.
Because they're trying to get those last few write-offs in. And so you'll see a lot of that. I guess for individuals, it's always the child tax credit, the child independent care credit, which if your kid was in, like, daycare or something like that.
Sure.
Making sure you're able to get those records. Of course, it won't be until this year is over. But kind of getting organized now is going to be helpful. If you got kids in college, making sure that they're signed up on their, I think it's called Blackboard. Because a lot of the schools now, they won't mail those 1098 T's. They'll just put it on their Blackboard account.
Okay.
And a lot of them don't know.
You got to download it and so forth.
Yeah, a lot of them don't know it's there, but they're waiting up for it in the mail still.
Wow.
But just making sure they have that. Yeah, I think those are the things, like, just making sure you're kind of prepped. And go ahead and choose your firm. We're taking new clients.
I love that. Love that. We'll get to how you can reach out to Courtney and become a client. Mm-hmm. But I love the preparation piece. I got to tell you, last time I filed my taxes, I was like, I was like, wait a minute. I had to go get all these statements. I was like, I got to go to a mortgage company, and I got a student loan, and my child's school. And I was like, this is a lot. So that preparation piece, don't wait till the last minute. Make sure you have all your stuff in order ahead of time. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you would recommend?
I'll say, too, remember in Georgia, they just passed this last year, but in Georgia, you can also claim, if you're pregnant, you can claim your kid on your next year's taxes, even if their kid is not here yet.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
That is incredible. I don't think people know about that one.
Yeah, they just passed it the end of last year. So last year was the first year.
Wow, that is incredible. So all our expectant moms, go ahead and claim your child on your taxes. Wow, and are they eligible for that? For the state of Georgia, and that's are they eligible for that child tax credit through that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so we're going to have to get that in some other states.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder,
That'd be crucial. That'd be crucial. I love that. And then lastly, I'm wondering if you can share a success story with us of a client that you worked with that may have had $0 revenue, or you just seen like a breakthrough. If you can share that with us, we'd love to hear.
Sure. I have a client. He's still on my roster right now, but this is his second business with me. So his first business, he just grew really fast, but he got in trouble with the state, with taxes with the state.
Sure.
And they ended up putting a bun on the account and closing him down. So he bounced back with his second business, but we had to go back and clean up everything with the state there or whatever. But now he has good relationships with all the city, the health
That's
department,
because
he's in food service, but he has good relationships with all the food, the health officials, and everything. Everything is on the up and up now.
Wow.
And he's even like helping other, other food service people. Mm-hmm. He bring me a lot of them, but he's helping them to like make sure it's important to stay on it, because he had to go through it. Like not getting it right at one point.
Yes.
But we grew his business, and I say we because I was in there with him. But
wow.
We grew his business to I think $350,000 that first year, the very first year, because he learned so many lessons from doing it wrong.
Hard lessons.
And he listened to me.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Listen to your accounting, y'all.
Yeah. And we stand to double that this year.
Yes.
So he's already at 650,000. I think by the end of the year, we'll be at 700.
That's incredible. Now, talking about success story, bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too late if you've made mistakes, if you are shamed, embarrassed. Don't let that stop you from reaching out to get the help that you need.
Right.
That's incredible. And then I think about the point as we're coming to a close where you talked about when you're not where you need to be financially as a company, the community, that you do a disservice to the community. Yeah. I thought about some of my favorite restaurants out in the Bronx, New York, that shut down. Now I'm thinking about memories and things that were created in those places, and it was a disservice when they shut down. So, you know, the fact that what you do in your company, it does impact your community and those around
it. It does. Especially if you know it's something that can help.
Yeah.
Or, you know, ease the burden on somebody or make life easier, give somebody joy.
Yes.
You owe it to them to, like, do it right.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. You know, I've never been as passionate as I am with taxes after talking to Courtney now. She don't warm my heart and all that.
Oh, good.
But I love it. How could people reach out to you? You're taking new clients. Mm-hmm. What could they do to become a client of yours?
Okay, definitely follow our Instagram. It's at mcoretax, mcoretax. Send us a message there. And also in the link in the bio, we'll tell you how to book a consultation that are free. We have free 15-minute little quick chats so we can get information to you and from you if you want to work with us.
Awesome.
And as far as taxes go, if you're ready to file, we have a link on there that takes you to our safe client portal. Everything's safe. So, yeah, it's our Instagram or our website, which is mcoretax.com.
I love it. Guys, reach out to Miss Courtney before it's too late, and then she'd be all booked up and won't have time for y'all. She's an accountant at CARES and that wants to make sure that you grow and get to your next level. And I don't know about y'all, but you're in a business, you heard that second year revenue is hitting 700,000. Mm-hmm. Next year, we're going to be over a million. So
yes.
This is your girl. You want to reach out to her. Well, Courtney, I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed
it. Thank you so much for being here. And we want to wish each and every one of you a happy holiday. Christmas is coming up. Hanukkah, for those of you that celebrate it. We'll be back again with some very powerful segments for our Christmas segment. We're really excited. We love you guys so much. Please stay tuned. We'll see you soon.